Thank you. So, thanks for the reading. I made a little mistake with the recording, and I lost the first chunk on the recording. So I'm just going to recap in about 30 seconds, for the sake of the recording, what we said so far. So we started to talk about wholesome health, and we said, number one, top priority is for somebody to look after their health and address and take preventative measures to look after their health when they are healthy. That's idea number one that the Rebbe taught. Now, when someone is actually going through a health struggle, how should they deal with it? The Rebbe promoted the importance of staying positive, trying to be joyous, optimistic, and upbeat. And when we do that, number one, it keeps us emotionally healthy. Number two, being positive draws down positive blessings from above as well. And the next point we made was that it's important to stay productive, not to suddenly have the person feel like they're useless and they can't make a difference anymore in the world, or whatever, maybe in whatever they were doing till then, maybe even something different, but being useful and making a difference and fulfilling their purpose or some purpose, that's key and that's essential to emotional health and even physical health. And then we just went over to the point that we're in the middle of right now, and that is to try to find spiritual purpose in what we're doing. And we are going to watch another video with a couple stories on it, and where people received personal guidance from the Rebbe in how to identify spiritual purpose within their health struggle. And when the video is finished, then I'll share something a little personal which relates to one of the stories that we're going to see in the video. Okay? So, remaining productive, the human being is born to toil. Productivity results in fulfillment, which is instrumental to healing and identifying the mission. God creates every entity with spiritual purpose. This, of course, includes illness. Our job is to identify what it is when we may be in that illness.
In 1989, right before Rosh Hashanah, my father suffered a stroke. He ended up in the hospital. At Rosh Hashanah, I get a call from Rabbi Leibel Groner, the Rebbe's secretary. The Rebbe wants to see me immediately. The Rebbe came out with a kuntras, with one of the booklets that he had given out the night before. And he said to me, "This is Fayim Taten." And then the Rebbe smiled, and he said to me, "Zogdem Taten," in Yiddish, "tell your father that when he'll finish the mission for which he was sent there, he will be released." Went straight to NYU, and I brought the kuntras, and I told my father exactly what the Rebbe had said. I remember my mother started running around. If Tzoyim,
he was pretty helpless in bed, so I took a pushka and I ran around the whole hospital and I took money, you know, and I gave the patients money to put into the pushka. But I sent a message to Leibel that please find out, it's mostly goyim there. What do I do? So a message got like 2 minutes later. He called me back. He said, "Goyim have to give tzedakah." So I just went all over the place and then gave tzedakah.
Well, we just started walking around now, so on the Sabbath. But he couldn't invite you to your own patient's reading?
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't speak to you, that he doesn't come out.
No, I'm telling you.
That he can't use it in the future.
Being admitted today for surgery tomorrow.
That's a new surgeon, and you have his rocket pushkin healed, and we'll take it to the hospital.
She's taking it to Dr. Pushkin with her in the hospital. Yeah, and put it rocket there also. And I've got romances in the hospital also. Yeah. Then to have the good news. My child mental is not well. He's in the hospital. So I called up Rabbi Chadakov just to tell him that, you know, that I've got my little boy's in the hospital and I'm here in the hospital with him. Goes quiet on the line for a little bit. And then Rabbi Chadakov comes back on the line and he says like this, Zicher hat der Eberster nicht gemacht hat, der Kind soll sein in Hospital, a du sollst haben mag bis nefesh. Certainly the Eberster didn't make such a thing happen so that you should be anguished because of it. Sicher, you certainly have a shlichus that you have to do there. Get your finis into us. Go find it and do it.
Right before Yom Kippur, my father did come out from the hospital and he went by the Rebbe for lekach. So wherever you find yourself, whether it's, they said, a beautiful place or a hospital, God leads the footsteps of a person, and you're going to have to figure out, understand what is the mission of why God put me in this place. There's a reason I'm here, and I have to redeem it and find the reason and the purpose, the mission of my being there.
Powerful stories. So the opening and closing of this video was Rabbi Simon Jacobson. You may know him from his book, Toward a Meaningful Life. His father, who was in the hospital, who he was talking about, was Gershon Jacobson. Have you ever been to a website called Allgemeiner.com? Mm-hmm. So before a website, there was a newspaper, a Yiddish newspaper, called Allgemeiner Journal that would come out in New York. Gershon Jacobson was the founder and publisher of that newspaper, and his sons run Allgemeiner.com, just for a little background. Okay, now I promised you a little personal story. So in 2017, my father was diagnosed with an illness, which eventually took him from us in 2020. Now, I went to New York to see him. He was at Columbia in New York City, and he had surgery. And I got there like maybe a couple days after surgery. And of course, you know, all this that we just watched, you know, we have this in our bones. So if I'm there visiting him in the hospital, I have to figure out there has to be another reason why I'm here other than just because my father is ill. So I took out my tefillin and a physical therapist came into my father's room and whatever. He did what he had to do. And then I asked him if he's Jewish. I mean, in New York City, the odds are up a little bit than from other places. And he said he was. I offered him to wrap tefillin, which he agreed to do. I even have a selfie to prove it. It's not part of the PowerPoint, though. And he said he was bar mitzvahed on Long Island, but he never actually wrapped tefillin, even at his bar mitzvah. So he was delighted to do it. A few hours later, when I left the hospital in New York City, I went to the Rebbe's resting place for a little prayer and reflection. When I was approaching, I hear that there's like an event going on. I see there's a lot of people. There's like kind of like a space over there in one of the tents. And there was like a lot of people and like a speaker. I open the door and walk in. And who's speaking? Rabbi Simon Jacobson, who we just saw in the video. He's in the middle of speaking to a couple hundred people. I think it was maybe a week before the Rebbe's Yahrzeit. Maybe it was related. That's why the event was happening. So, you know, I just came in from the hospital trying to collect my thoughts. So I listen in to his talk. And he starts telling a story about his father ending up in the hospital and the Rebbe sending him a message that when you finish your mission at the hospital, that's when you'll get out. I just came from visiting my father at the hospital. And the same thing, you know, you're wondering how long this is going to take and why this even happened. But there's a mission. And I got this message at the Ohel from this rabbi, Simon Jacobson, in real time. So I knew that wrapping tefillin with this guy from Long Island, that was certainly part of the mission. A day or two later, I was back at the hospital, and this same fellow who we wrapped tefillin a couple days earlier told me, I just want you to know how moved I was when I wrapped tefillin together with you. The following night, I had a dream. And I dreamed of my grandfather, and my grandfather was showing me his tefillin, his own set of tefillin. And like I never did it before in my life. This is the first time I did it. And the next night, his grandfather shows up in a dream to show him and was displaying his own tefillin for him. I knew immediately that encounter was part of the mission that we had. So that's a key component, to stay productive, but also to find and try to identify what my mission and purpose can be. And like some of the people said, it may just be having a charity box in the room with some coins available. We did that here when my daughter was in the hospital, and anyone that came in, whether it was a medical professional or somebody else, just offer them a coin, they give tzedakah, and instead of just being there all down and depressed by what's going on, you have the ability to serve a purpose, and serving that purpose actually lifts you up and turns your perspective around, and you're doing something positive, and it uplifts the entire mood in a situation when you need it most. So that was idea number two as far as the how. Okay, I know we're talking about a lot of things. Right now we're talking about how to stay happy and how to stay positive in a difficult health situation. Number one, stay productive. Number two, find purpose and identify a mission, a unique mission, and why you're there. Any quick questions or comments? All good. Okay, number three. Number three is an important one. Anyone know how to say the word security in Hebrew? Bitachon. Bitachon, yes. Anyone know another meaning for bitachon?
Trust.
Trust, thank you. So in modern Hebrew, in Israel, the word bitachon will refer to security. But a little bit more, first of all, certainly in the Holy Tongue, but even commonly, trust, specifically trust in God, the term bitachon is also used. Another very important component in getting through a health struggle is bitachon, which means trust in God. Now, we all believe in God. We probably wouldn't be here if we didn't. We all have faith in God. So what is this trust that you're talking about? We have faith. What's trust? Is it the same as faith? Anyone? Is faith and trust the same thing?
Not exactly.
How would you identify the difference in one line?
Put yourself in God's hands. Let God lead.
Is that faith? Is that trust? Is that both? That's trust?
God carrying you.
Faith is God, trust is in people.
But let's say within God, is there a difference between faith and trust?
Trust in action or a response or something from God, or trust that...
So let's... everything goes better with the story. So there was this fellow who was doing some outstanding tightrope walking over Niagara Falls, and he had a whole audience gathered, and he said, "Who thinks I can walk across? Do you think I can do it?" And they said, "Yes, yes, you can do it." And he walks across. Then he says, "Who thinks I can do the same thing with a unicycle or whatever?" And they says, "Yes, we believe you. You can do it. You can do it." And he does it. Then he says, "Who thinks? Do you believe that I can go walk this tightrope with a wheelbarrow?" And they say, "Yes, you could do it. How about walking with a wheelbarrow with a person sitting inside it?" And they all say, "Yes, yes, you can do it." Then he says, "Okay, who's going to volunteer?" And it was silent. So they all had faith that he can do it. but they did not have trust. If they had trust, then they would offer their services to sit inside there when he's doing it. So when it comes to God, you know, having faith in God is just believing that God could take care of the situation. Trust is one that's a lot more absolute. When you trust with certainty that God has your back, and you can just totally let go and let God. That's what trust is. Faith is a little bit more abstract. Faith is like somebody could have faith in God, as the Talmud says. Somebody could be ready to break into a house and begin a robbery. And before they actually break in, they'll pause and pray to God to grant them success in what they're going to do in this robbery. Does that make sense? One second. Does this guy have faith in God or doesn't he? He has faith in God because he believes that God could grant him success in what he's doing. But he's praying to God for success in something that he knows God said not to do. So does he have faith or does he not have faith? He has and he doesn't have. He has faith, but it's more of an abstract faith. It's not an internalized, integrated faith. Because if he really believed in God, then he would fulfill the Ten Commandments. So he doesn't really believe in God, but he somewhat believes in God. Trust means you absolutely put your trust in God, and you know with certainty he'll do exactly what you're asking and praying for. So this idea of exercising this muscle of trust in God when someone's going through a health struggle is critical. And it's important to develop that frame of mind, because when we do have that trust, the trust itself has the ability to create the outcome that we want, that the desired outcome that we're trying to that we're praying for and that we're hoping for. So it's important to nurture one's bitachon, and that will help a person remain positive and optimistic. As we said, we're talking about different things that could actually contribute to staying positive and staying optimistic, knowing that God is in the driver's seat 100%, and we have to trust. And that means in absolute terms. Let's take a look at a letter from the Rebbe written in 1972. Ron, would you be comfortable reading that for us? And text number 5, please.
A channel for blessing. I duly received the telephone message as well as the letter regarding your state of health. From what I have been informed about your progress in matters of Jewish observance, it is surely unnecessary to emphasize to you the importance of bikashon, complete faith and trust in God, not just as an abstraction, but in a way that truly permeates one's entire being. In addition to bikashon being one of the foundations of our faith and way of life, it is also a channel to receive God's blessings, especially for the success of the medical treatment.
Thank you very much. So let's turn our attention to the screen. Obviously, as you all figured out by now, sometimes we see and watch an encounter of the Rebbe directly with a person discussing or getting the advice or blessing. Sometimes we hear firsthand encounters of people sharing the story of the guidance that they received from the Rebbe, but you're hearing it firsthand. So let's take a look. Bitachon is trust. Emuna is belief. Bitachon is trust in revealed good. Bitachon itself brings about God's blessings.
ביום אחד אני מקבל מכתב מהבית, שאבא קיבל התקפת לב, הוא במצב אנוש. אני מקבל מכתב כזה, מה אני צריך לחשוב? ומה, כן? אז אני הכנסתי מכתב לרבי, כבר אינני יודע מה לחשוב. אז הרבי לקחת את המכתב הזה, עשה קו מתחת המילים האלה, הוא כותב, ולפלא, שלושה סימני קריאה ככה, אתה ראית את העצמה שבזה ככה, ולפלא, שהרי ידוע בחיגום דה, ציווי נישאינו רבותינו, טרחגות וזנגות, ואחכה לבשורות טובות. קיבלתי את המכתב הזה, ידעתי שם שאני חי, טוב, המשכתי להגיד תהילים וכן הלאה, זה יום חמישי בלילה. עוברת השבת, ביום ראשון עזרתי אומץ וטלפנתי הביתה. אמא שלי מרימה את הטלפון, שאלתי את המה של אבא, יצא מכאן סכנה. עברתי את הכביש, והלכתי פעמים כשמה, ואמרתי, שרבי יוצא ממנוחה, נו, יראות את פסטויבי סומיר. אמרתי לו, כן, יצא מכלל סכנה. מתי? אמרתי לו, ביום חמישי בערב. אז הוא שואל אותי, מתי אתה התחלת לחשוב טוב?
לא היו לנו ילדים כמה שנים, דבר שמאוד מאוד כאב לי. וזה היה עם דיאגנוזה של רופא, שטען שאני לא אולם, לא אוכל, מבחינה ביולוגית, אני לא אוכל לבדק ילדים. אמרתי לבעלי שאני רוצה לנסוע לרבי. אמרתי לרבי שאני רוצה ילדים. בכיתי הרבה. הרבי הסתכל עליי ואומר לי, הייתכן שבחורה שלמדה בבית יעקב תולה תקווה אך ורק ברפואה הקונבנציונלית, הוא עושה לי כך, ואפסה תקווה מן השמיים ומן הראוי שישבו וילמדו את ספר חובת הלבבות, שער הביטחון, ולא יצטרכו יותר לבכות. והקדוש ברוך הוא יברך אותם בבנים ובנות חסידיים, יראי שמיים, ויזכו לגדלם לתורה לחופה ולמעשים טובים. עכשיו, אנחנו ישבנו ולמדנו, והייתה תקופה שגם נתתי הרצאות לקבוצות על ביטחון באשר. וכמובן שזה חיזק אותי מאוד, והבכי כבר נגמר, לא הייתי צריכה לבכות, וגם הקדוש ברוך הוא עזר מיד.
זאת דחבך נשטרף עם דרך הזכם, זאת ויסן על המון של טרחטן גוד.
So, as the opening and closing, the Rebbe asked him, when did the good news come? Or when did the change in his father's condition come? He said it was Thursday night. And he asked him, when did you start thinking positive? It was also Thursday night, because that's when he got his response from the Rebbe. We see the power of placing our trust in God. And if it wasn't obvious, this woman who was told by doctors she would never have children, we saw her family picture with four kids. And that was when she started to work on her trust in God muscle. So,
like Sarah, you know, Sarah was childless.
Yes, yes, but there's one thing to read about it in the Bible.
Okay.
There's another one to hear it in modern day. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. For some of us, that's enough, like Sid. But when we hear about it in our modern day, it has an impact. Stuart.
So, you know, I hear a lot as a physician where people think that getting sick is a lack of faith. And to me, that puts a lot of blame on a person for their own illness. And it almost sounds like this is going in kind of that direction of being ill is a lack of positive thought or something like that. Is that the direction this is going in or not?
First really? Of all, we're only about halfway through.
Yeah, okay.
Number one. Number two, you're saying people say that it's a lack of faith that brought the illness in the first place. Probably from other religions, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's suggesting that, and nobody knows God's ways, ultimately. What we do know is, and this is what we started with, that the Rebbe's belief was that the physical and the spiritual are not two different worlds. They're one and the same, they're two sides of the same coin. We just have access to the physical plane, and this realm, we don't have, well, we have some access, that's why we pray, but we don't have easy access to the spiritual. The Rebbe did. Certainly more than average, and he was able to kind of align the spiritual and the physical, and to help guide somebody to how, when, and what. So, if the Rebbe told someone that if they strengthened their faith in God, it would help them in their health, that was because the Rebbe saw this person's spiritual counterpart and knew what they need. But nobody's passing judgment on anybody to say that it was a lack of faith that brought them illness in the first place. I mean, nobody would have, I mean, that would be a cruel thing to suggest to anybody, most certainly. But like I said, there's still a little more. Yes?
And one thing I want to share, ideas.
Briefly, though.
So we're all on a spiritual journey with God. And sometimes it can be seen as God is testing your spiritual metal. He wants to strengthen it. He wants to partner with you to strengthen it. And he may give you an illness as a nisayan. It's just a tool, basically. Is that
what it is? Yeah. Like I said, we don't know what's what. We don't know God's ways. But sometimes, well, kind of what we said before, identifying a spiritual purpose. So it could be, most certainly I would have never wrapped to fill in with that Jew in the hospital if my father wasn't there, because I wouldn't have randomly taken a trip to Colombia to find this guy. And maybe for some reason, God desperately needed that this Jew should wrap to fill in that day. And the only way it would happen was through this whole roundabout series of circumstances, and that's what it took. Who knows? All we can do is do our best to fill the role that we have, that we're given, and that we can identify when we're going through it. That's the most that we can do.
And trust the gift. It's a gift, actually. Even what seems negative is positive. It's a gift.
But that we can only say about ourselves.
For sure.
We have to look at something we're going through and identifying it that way. We can't look at someone else going through that and say, well, you were granted a gift. That also wouldn't be appropriately. For ourselves, we could... No, I'm sure you were thinking that. I'm just... Yeah. Voicing it. So let's go to the next step. Idea number two. So first of all, we just said that, we said three things of how we're able to stay joyous and upbeat and positive. We said very briefly, we said that we have to stay productive. We said that we have to identify our purpose and mission. And we said that we have to strengthen our trust in God. But ultimately, how do we do it? When we're facing a difficult challenge, it's a difficult medical prognosis, and you're staring it in the face. How does one do it? We have to remember two things. Number one, that God isn't bound by the laws of nature, and he can and he does perform miracles for individuals. It may not be when we want it, how we want it, what we want exactly, but God does perform miracles. And sometimes he does suspend nature, if you will, God's tools or God's way of staying anonymous and staying behind the scenes. Sometimes God does override that system. And number two, even when you're facing that diagnosis, keep in mind that sometimes doctors could make mistakes. Even if most of the time they don't, it's possible for fallibility of a medical diagnosis. Let's take a look in text number 6. Elena, please.
Just from my name, okay. So
There is no basis for despondency or despair, for we have clearly seen God perform nature transcending miracles, even for individuals, and especially in recent years. Moreover, in many instances, doctors err in their diagnosis despite conducting a plethora of tests. This is especially true of diagnostics related to internal organs. In addition to all the above, you should be aware that new medical remedies are constantly appearing. However, it is of utmost necessity, it is impossible for it to be otherwise, that you strengthen your connection with God, the healer of all flesh and performer of wonders. Siddur morning blessings. This description is to be taken literally. God performs actual miracles and wonders for individuals, the proof being that each and every one of us recites this blessing, and were it untrue, we would be erring by reciting a formal blessing in vain.
Thank you. So these are important ideas to keep in mind. And fascinatingly, at least in one instance, well, the truth is it's more than one for sure. It wasn't maybe super common, but in more than one instance, the Rebbe advised somebody who had not yet recovered from his illness, he advised them to throw a party in gratitude to God for recovering from their illness before it even happened. And that would be a display and demonstration of their trust in God that it would actually happen. If you really trust it's going to happen, then, you know, if you trust somebody's word and they tell you it's happening, and you really do trust them, then you're good to go. You can go relax on the couch because you have their word. It's maybe not so common, but there are those people who you trust, and when they say it, their word is gold. If you trust in God, then throw the party and start celebrating now. Paul, would you like to read text number 7? Please, let's read that letter from the Rebbe on this topic.
Advanced celebration. I have just received your letter in which you describe your present state of health. It may seem logical to delay celebrating your recovery with overt joy until you are actually healed. Nevertheless, it is in fact reasonable to openly rejoice over your healing in advance, despite the reality that your healing is yet to occur. For such joy will actively hasten your recovery. This is in keeping with the oft-repeated saying of the Chabad Rabbis, Trach gut vet zin gut. Think positively and you will see positive results. Obviously, this approach is far more effective when you translate optimistic thinking into verbalized joy and joyful activity.
Thank you. So that is a demonstration of absolute trust if you're ready to party. If you party in advance, and then good things will follow. Okay, let's continue on to the next topic. So we've been... You may walk away from everything that we said so far, that the Rebbe, and maybe this is a little bit in line with what you were asking, you could think or get the impression that the Rebbe was like skeptical of doctors and modern medicine. But the truth is, nothing could be further from the truth. And we will see that a balance is necessary, but that to come to that conclusion is certainly the wrong thing. So, for starters, in text number 8, we'll have a doctor read it for us, please. This is straight out of the Talmud, actually.
The Torah states, "He shall provide for his cure," Exodus 21:19. This informs us that God has granted physicians permission to provide healing.
So we actually learned from a verse which we read a week ago in the portion of Mishpatim, where it says, "Virapo yirape," which means that God granted a doctor the permission, so to speak, to heal. So where does a medical professional, where do they get this power, or who empowered them with this ability to heal? That is God Almighty. So it's God. And this is where we have to develop the balance here. There's two components when it comes to healing. There's God, who is the source of the blessing for healing. And then there is God's agent to actually carry it out here on earth. So both things are necessary to come to a conclusion that the Rebbe is suggesting, well, it's all about God and trust in God. And if you have the right trust, things will be good. You can come to the conclusion that the doctor plays no role. But that's absolutely untrue. The doctor plays a very significant role. But why does he play a role? He plays a role because God empowered him and appointed him to be his agent to manifest his blessing within curing that individual. So God put him there. That's why he can be the healer. And it takes this partnership between God, the source of the blessing for healing, and the one who actually delivers it on God's behalf. So both of them are very necessary to know where it's coming from and to put your trust in God. But at the same time, you have to know that the doctor is the one that you have to listen to here below, because they're the one delivering it to you. So this, let's see text number 9, continuing on this theme, please. Sid.
You should observe our sages directed to follow your doctor's orders and do it happily. What difference does it make to you if you fulfill God's will in a particular way or through particular means? The main thing is to avoid overthinking the matter and to instead focus on doing God's will. In this case, God has directed you to obey your doctor, so you should do so and be gratified that you have the opportunity to fulfill God's will, and you should therefore do it with joy. In fact, when you will act in this manner, God will help you so that you will clearly see gratifying results. I hope that you will write back to inform me that you have adopted this approach, and may God add in his blessing to you and your family for good health and ample livelihood.
Thank you. So again, we're driving home the same point, where the physical and the spiritual are one and the same, two sides to the same coin. Again, faith in God, trust in God, that's one side of it. Following the doctor's orders is the other side of the same coin. Because God in the Torah told us to listen to the doctor. So when I'm listening to the doctor, you know what I'm doing now? I'm actually fulfilling God's wishes. God wants me to listen to the doctor because that's his agent. So when I'm doing so, like we said before, I'm not doing something that's outside of God's realm. I'm actually within it. When I'm praying, it's a holy endeavor. When I'm listening to the doctor's orders, it's a holy endeavor as well. I'm following God's command, just like I'm following his command when I eat matzah at the Seder, and when I give charity, and when I blow the shofar, and when I do anything, when I eat kosher, when I listen to the doctor, I am fulfilling God's command. And I know in some other religions, there are some other strange ideas, like if God made you ill, then they don't even go see a doctor. In some, I know this is more exceptional, but it's out there, it exists. Because if God wanted me to be healthy, he would have kept me healthy. If he's making me ill, God forbid, then who am I to mix in and go to a doctor who's going to make me better, contrary to God's will? Did you know that there's such a line of thinking out there?
Absolutely.
Not a Jewish one. The Jewish one, you can call it whatever it is, a test, a journey. God puts us in certain circumstances, but he also tells us that we should absolutely do whatever we can within the realm of nature to seek out a medical professional who can bring us back and restore our health. And when we're doing that, we are fulfilling God's will. Yes?
What about physical fitness?
So that goes into preventive health that we opened with.
Now, I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but it just visually, being around a lot of Chabad men, they don't necessarily look to be...
They're all overweight.
Yes. Yes.
And smoke.
I can only speak for myself.
I understand, but I'm saying, what does he say about physical fitness?
So, it definitely taking care of one's health, eating healthy, and staying active, both fall into the first thing that we said tonight, and that is to look after your health when you're healthy. And absolutely, it should be a priority. Now, the question is, how much of a priority? And here, I could see somebody possibly argue, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying I take that position. First of all, different people have different eating habits, right? And who are we to judge somebody else for how, you know, for what mastery they have over their eating desires or urges? That's one thing.
If the doctor told them to work on their diet, and the doctor is a vessel of God, then they should be.
Then if they still aren't, it's probably a very big struggle for them. Mm-hmm. Just like anybody else, just like the next person. And as far as actual physical fitness, look, it's ultimately it's each one, and there some people have it in them. Some people are more disciplined. Some people are less. Even an Orthodox Jew may be more or less disciplined and more capable of being, you know, working out regularly.
It's very, very active.
It's kind of ironic that a lot of Jewish food is not healthy.
No? What's not healthy?
High in
Kishke, Kugel, Cholent, which one?
Cholent as an example.
But on Shabbat, calories don't count. I don't know if you know that.
I knew it.
So no Cholent on Wednesday, but as long as it's on Shabbat. Of course, we you know, on Shabbat, it's actually a mitzvah to enjoy food, so we make up for it during the week. We skip a few meals to balance things out. But ultimately, there's no excuse, and somebody should look after their health.
Health and fitness is relative to that person also.
Correct. And ultimately, I think we can also agree, and I don't want to take too much time on this, that it may be a little overrated in some circles, meaning it's important. And certainly if an individual is told by a doctor that they should be eating healthier or working out, they certainly should, if a doctor is telling them they should get their act together. But outside of that, then whatever. Maybe with their limited time, they're choosing to prioritize with other things. Who knows? I can't speak for them. Okay.
You look great, by the way.
Thank you. No names, right? Okay. So, a little bit of time left, and let's use it wisely. So we established how it's important to have both of these factors, and it's not one or the other. It's the faith and the medical professional. The question, though, is, we just kind of went to the other direction, and we said, well, you have to obey the doctor. Could you ever doubt a doctor? Or do you always have to obey the doctor as if it's coming from the Bible? Could you doubt a doctor? The answer is you can, but within reason. And we're not going to actually read the letter, but there is a letter here in text 10, which you can feel free to read it afterwards, but the Rebbe makes the point to someone who was obsessing and running from one doctor to the next and to the next and to the next and overdoing it. That was too much. But at the same time, he always promoted and encouraged people to get a second opinion. So if you go to one and they tell you, whatever, you need a surgery, definitely get a second opinion. If the second opinion agrees with the first, then go with it. If both of them say you to have the surgery and you still aren't feeling very confident that you should, then the Rebbe said, get a third opinion and follow the majority. And that's it. He never said to go beyond that. I shouldn't say never. I mean, there were certainly maybe certain exceptional instances, but generally speaking, and this he actually said publicly, not just in the letter, it's actually on video. He said this in February in 1988. He said, in hindsight, it seemed like he was, this lecture or this speech was kind of relating to after his passing, when people would want to get his guidance, and people came to him all the time with questions. The doctor said, I should have a surgery. Should I do it or not? And they would have him, you know, whatever his guidance was, that's what they would do. But a time would come when they wouldn't be able to freely ask the Rebbe for his straightforward advice. What to do then? And this is what he said. To get a second opinion, if you're not feeling good about it, follow them. And if need be, a third. And one more very important thing he said, and that is, if you were ever at Eshel House Gala dinner, they give out an award every year at their event. And it's a Hebrew term, the name of this award. It's called the Rofe Yedid Award. You may or may not have noticed. In English, it means a physician and friend award. And this is what the Rebbe would tell people, that when you're looking for medical advice, don't just go to any doctor, go to a Rofe Yedid. A doctor, obviously an expert, always, but an expert who is a friend. In other words, they have a vested interest in you. Or a friend of a friend, someone who told you, you know, you absolutely can trust this guy, I'll tell him, you're going to call him, or whatever. When they have a personal interest in you, then that could have an impact as well. So you're not just another, not to suggest, God forbid, that if a doctor is meeting someone for the first time, that they're getting anything less than stellar treatment. But when someone does know someone, when it's a friend or a friend of a friend, it helps for them to have a personal vested interest in you. And that's also noted in text 11, which we won't read. It's short. And this Rofe Yedid was a key component and always highly recommended and you know, very, very much go-to advice from the Rebbe when it came to doctors. We're going to hear one story from a woman from Johannesburg, South Africa, an incredible story, and then we will move over to the closing. One point before the video, and that is that even though we should listen to doctors, and the Rebbe always encouraged that, as we said, and he gave us the formula of how to follow doctors' instructions, there's one time when one should not listen to a doctor, and that is when they give you a negative prognosis. They can tell you your situation, but if they tell somebody that they have a month left or a year left or a week left or whatever, then they're playing God. And that is absolutely not their role. Their role is to, they can tell you your situation, but to tell you something outright that you only have X, that is overstepping their role. That's already God's domain. Again, even in such a situation, now, doesn't mean that, obviously, the cycle of life, and people do have a limit to the amount of years that they have in this world, and everybody's time does come. But that's God's domain, not any doctor's, and we should always put our trust in God, even when we are steering a situation in the face like that. And for an example of that, we're going to take a look at the screen.
Esty Ash lives in Johannesburg, South Africa, with her family.
Kids were older. They were all avid bike riders. Uriel went outside. He was going up the road. He didn't take his helmet. And he was riding in the street. And a car, it was a very narrow street with cars parked on both sides. And a car was obviously trying to get through. With Uriel in the street, he couldn't. So he hooted at Uriel. Uriel turned around to look at the car, and as he turned his bike in front of the car as well, and the car hit him. And he flew off his bike over the hood of the car and smashed the windscreen with his head. The ambulance came to take us, and you know, I was asking them questions, and they didn't answer me, and he was unconscious. There was no response. When we got to the hospital, they took Uriel away to try to resuscitate him, and they sent me to fill in the form. And one of the questions on the form is age. Now, this was a week before Uriel's 14th birthday, but I desperately needed 14, so I didn't write 13. I wrote 14, even though he was technically still 13. I needed that 14, so I wrote 14. And that became relevant later, too. They called me in to like talk to him and hold his hand and see if it would elicit a reaction, and it didn't. A lady came, she gave me some money to make a phone call, and I phoned Michael, and Michael's my husband, and I made it sound like it wasn't serious, and he came to the hospital, and then they called us both in to see if we could get a reaction out of Uriel, hold his hand, stroke his head, talk to him. There was nothing. And I think when Michael realized the gravity of the situation, he phoned Rabbi Lipsker, who was a close friend of ours. He phoned the Rebbe's office for a bracha. And also, because there was no reaction from Uriel, the doctor in charge, the registrar in charge of trauma, casualty, had decided that they weren't going to take any active medical care as far as he was concerned. They were just going to leave him. And then came the Rebbe's bracha. The Rebbe basically said, Askir alatzion, we should hear Basuras Tovos. And there was a specific message to the doctor saying that he is a rofe, and as a rofe, a doctor, he is a shaliach of Hashem. And his job is to administer treatment and do whatever he can, and Hashem will decide the outcome. And as a result of that, he decided to go against the instructions of his superior doctor and administer treatment. So they took Uriel, they didn't even put him in ICU because they weren't going to bother doing anything with him, but they put him in a normal ward. Now, the best ward in the hospital was the pediatric ward, and the maximum age for the pediatric ward is 13. But I'd written 14 on the form. But Gary Schwartz, the doctor, knowing that this was the best ward in the hospital, put him into the pediatric ward. And against the instructions of his superior doctor, he put him on a respirator and administered whatever medical treatment he could for Uriel to save his life. Early the next morning at about 6, Uriel came to. And all I could say is that it was seeing the Nefesh Elokis at work, because with his eyes still closed, he did this. And he did this. He wanted Negalas. I mean, he had just come round. It was amazing. And when the doctor in charge came to do his rounds and he saw that Uriel was wide awake, I think he learned a very big lesson. But as for Gary, this was the first step in his journey to becoming frum. He had witnessed a miracle.
Wow factor, one after the other. So incredibly amazing, and this tells us very clearly where we have to absolutely follow doctors' instructions. We also need to know what their limitations are and know that they are messengers from God above. So just to sum up, how to remain emotionally positive when facing a medical challenge. Number one, keep yourself as productive as possible. Number two, identify a spiritual mission within the challenge and focus on completing it. And number three, have faith in God. Those are the three very important components. And now just to move toward closing, a couple of things. We talked about the fact that it's important to take care of our physical health, because then we can be spiritually sound as well and do what we need to spiritually. If we have an unhealthy body, we can't tend to our soul. But it also works the other way around. We have to strengthen our soul in order to strengthen our body and to have a healthy body. And the Rebbe would constantly encourage people, sometimes very specifically, if somebody was going through a health issue, depending on what it was, sometimes it was general, sometimes specific guidance, to embrace or strengthen a certain area within Jewish observance, and that would be the channel to draw down the blessing that they needed for that particular health issue that they were going through at that time. And even though he would do so generally to embrace Judaism or mitzvahs in general, always. But he also got specific sometimes. So say, for example, making sure that one has mezuzahs on the doors of their home to make sure they're kosher. If they weren't checked in years, it's worthy to check them to make sure they're kosher and intact. Wrapping tefillin for men, Shabbat candles for women. Kosher, a kosher diet, or improving one's level of kosher is always healthy. Of course, food, you are what you eat. And kosher food has an impact on the body as well. And Torah study and charity, those were all examples. We're going to go to a video of seeing some of these particular opportunities when the Rebbe gave these type of instructions. benefits of Torah's directive and material, the Rebbe advised improving mitzvah observance.
That was July 1989. I wasn't feeling well, and the pains in my stomach. And I went to my gastroenterologist, who was a big mumcha, and he took an endoscopy, and he's straightforward. He said, I got very bad news to tell you. Well, what? And you got a big problem. You got to go get x-rays and everything, and you have to have an operation on your stomach, otherwise you're in dire sakana. I called 770. Benjamin Klein answered the phone. And Benjamin went into the Rebbe, and he came right back and called me up, but the Rebbe said that I should look over all my mezuzahs of this house, and my Rashi's film, and Rabbeinu Tam's film. And I went over to the Sefer. So he takes out the Parsha. He shows me that it's the word Zoch and Zikaron was blotted out. You can't use these film, he said. He had just written four Parshas for Shel Rosh, so I bought it from another spot because I don't want to be without film. And Baruch Hashem, I had the operation. And everything was all right. And I called Benjamin to thank the Rebbe, that the Rebbe saved my life. For this. So the Rebbe said to him, that thus is the Lafur.
I've been to doctors and I've been to the student and I said there's nothing wrong with this or that. I still get pains from time to time. But I wash you as well, Rebbe, if you don't mind, if I could have a blocker for that, it'd be about 2.5 years.
Probably you must do something about the cashless. About the observing the laws of kashrus, maybe there is something wrong with holy Israel or pass Israel.
Fascinatingly, the last one, the issue was an eye issue, and the Rebbe said to be more diligent in saying Kiddush and Havdalah and a cup of wine. And that will be an extra measure of blessing for health in one's eyes. That was just the last thing, which wasn't so common, by the way. The other ones were more common, this one a little less so. I've heard it before, though, but never on video. So that was fascinating to see. So in closing, just like a rabbi, as they say about rabbis, that nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. A rabbi is not just there to answer questions about Torah and about tefillin, but a rabbi has to be ready to do favors for people that have nothing to do with religion. And that's when they know it's meaningful. Similarly, a doctor, even though you go to a doctor first and foremost for physical health, a doctor needs to realize that they also can play a role when it comes to spiritual influence on their patients or the people that they work with. So just like a rabbi has a dual role, even though primarily it may be spiritual, a doctor is primarily physical, but they also should realize that they should also try to have a spiritual influence on the people that they see. So we're just about at the end, but let's just close with the last video from Dr. Shani, who we mentioned before. And with this, we will call it.
Professor Mordechai Shani serves as professor of healthcare systems at Tel Aviv University and is a recipient of the Israel Prize. In 1976, while serving as director general of the Sheba Medical Center, he was part of a group that arrived at 770 for the celebration of Simchas Torah.
Rabbi הגיע אלינו, שוחח עם כל אחד מאיתנו כדקה, מאחר והוא שאל אותי מאיפה אני, וסיפרתי לו שבאתי מבית חולים, מיד שאל אותי מדוע אתם קוראים לזה בית חולים ולא בית רפואה, ואמר לי, אתה יודע מה, בהזדמנות, בוא ניפגש ונשוחח יותר בשקט ובניחותא. כעבור בערך שנה, אינני זוכר את התאריך המדויק, בתיאום עם הרב קליין, נקבעה פגישה עם הרבי. הפגישה הייתה בחדרו, חדר צנוע, שמתאים לאישיותו של הרבי. היא לא עסקה בנושאים אישיים. היא עסקה למעשה בשיחה בערך של כחצי שעה, 25 דקות, שדנה למעשה בעולם הרפואה. ראשית, אחד הדברים המעניינים, שגם מאפיינים את הרבי, שהוא שם דגש על נפשו של האדם, וראה בנושא הנפש מקור לחוזקו של האדם. ככל שהאדם בעל נפש חזקה יותר, הוא יכול להתמודד יותר טוב בחיים. הגענו דרך אגב לשיחה גם על ביקורי אנשים אצל חולים, והוא הדגיש את החשיבות של זה, לא רק מבחינת זו שאתה בא לבקר חולה, אלא בזה שאתה בא לחזק אותו. אתה נותן לו תחושה שהוא איננו לבד, שזה אחד הדברים היפים בקהילה החרדית, שבו הקהילה עוזרת לאדם החולה ומחזקת את נפשו. בהמשך דיברנו על נושא נוסף, שהוא גם כן מאוד מעניין, כי הוא מתקשר למגמה שיש היום ברפואה, וזה נושא מקומו של האדם בבריאותו. אמר הרבי, נכון שיש רופאים, אבל הוא אמר משהו שהיום מתחילים לדבר על זה, שבאים ונסים לשכנע את בני האדם, אל תתלה את יהבך ברופאים, אם אתה לא תדאג לבריאותך, אם אתה לא תקפיד לאכול נכון, להתאמל, לישון טוב, אתה תפגע בבריאותך. זהו נושא שהיום בעולם המערבי קוראים לו patient empowerment. חזק תעצים את האדם ותשכנע אותו שהוא אחראי לבריאותו. מעניין שהרבי לפני 30 שנה כבר מדבר על העצמת האדם, שהאדם הוא אחראי לבריאותו. הרי זה כלל בסיסי במה שנקרא רפואה מונעת וקידום בריאות. אתה אחראי לבריאותך, הרופא יכול לעזור לך, הוא לא יכול להחליף אותך. מבחינה זו, השיחה הייתה מאוד מעניינת, כי הרבי בכמה נושאים למעשה הקדים את זמנו. אפרופו דרך אגב, הסוגיה שהוא התחיל איתי בפגישה הראשונה, למה הוא קרא בית רפואה, אומר הרבי, אתם שמים דגש על החולי, אני שם את הדגש על הבריאות. אני רוצה להדגיש שאתם הולכים למקום שרוצה לשפר את הרפואה שלכם, את הבריאות שלכם, לא את החולי שלכם. זה מתקשר בדיוק לתפיסה של הרבי, שבא ואמר, רבותיי, הבריאות תלויה בך. אל תקדש את החולי, תקדש את הבריאות.
Wonderful. So we learned the Rebbe's perspective and his worldview with everything related to physical health. I want to encourage you to try to identify some area within your spiritual life that you can strengthen, and in so doing, you'll be better aligning your spiritual and your physical realities, leading to a strengthened and improved physical health. And thank you very much for joining us tonight. God willing, next Monday, we'll be talking about mental health specifically. Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you. Thank you.